Okay, here we are, January 19th, and we're on Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 8, verse 8, and we'll turn the time over to Dewey to lead our discussion.
Okay. Gee, as I was reviewing all of the LDS scriptures on the United Order, I was just thinking, this is kind of a serious covenant. Remember that in Peter's day, I think it was Ananias. Anyway, there was a mem couple in the church that lied about their consecration and killed right over, right on the spot. I mean, that kind of leave an impression on the branch, I'm sure, or the ward. And it's just anyway, that was the thing that I had been thinking about. It is the last covenant in the temple, and I personally believe it's the most difficult for me, probably for everyone, to be equal. Anyway, it's going to be extraordinary to see how this comes about, because I just don't see how any of us are going to be able to do this without being endowed with just great gifts. Anyway, I guess we'll get started. Verse 8, who wants to read that for me? Okay.
I can do that. For all things to take place in order and harmony among all the brethren, the following principles were established among us to be strictly observed by those who wish to live within this order.
Strictly observed. Shall we go on?
Sure. Do you want me to continue or do you want to?
Yeah, let's do another one.
All right. It was first necessary to have the desire to be partaker of this heavenly society, recognizing God as the only Lord over all things, being He is a righteous ruler over all our properties, whether they were our material resources, our talents, or even our time.
And I'm thinking that this is where I'm at, that I'm asking the Lord to have the desire to be a partaker of the society. Realizing how important it is, and that Zion cannot be built up unless a group of saints observe this. I think this is an area where that would be where I'm at, a desire to be a partaker of this heavenly society. And anybody have some comments on that?
I just thought it was interesting that it had the three things that we want the Lord to righteous ruler over our properties, our material resources, our talents, and our time. We don't normally think of God taking and being involved in our time and talents as well as resources.
Right, and that's stuck out in my mind, because earlier in the Yellow Book or in the Seal Book of Mormon, it talks about getting rid of things in your life. It has quite a list, but at the very end is like, oh, you're supposed to be really actively involved. And I'm just going, wow. But I guess I think these things will be given to us. I do think the promises are that we will have energy and will not be weary. I know that's more tied to the word of wisdom, but I do think obviously the closer you come to being holy and actually becoming translated, like some of the other people we've read about, you would have that energy. The other thing I thought about is, well, God's going to give you ideas about how to do it. You could be very wealthy if the Lord gave you some new idea, some new invention. So that knowledge of whatever it is, the Lord could give to you, which would then allow you to provide for the poor.
Yeah, I had a couple things. Talking about those who desire to be partakers, I think at first, as we've seen, it's going to be a small group that's going to get things started. But I think further ahead in years, there's going to be things happen in this world that is going to cause others to have to make a decision. And I think we all can see that those times are coming. Also, in our class yesterday, Darren McClellan was talking about how he desires not to be in this world anymore, and not negatively, but he desires to, as we all are in the world, but we try not to be of the world. His desire is really to be out of the world, as he says. It's, I'm trying to remember how he had a something that was, I guess, revealed to him, but there's in the scriptures it says that, those who don't give heed, or those who don't want more, those that say they have enough, to them will be taken what they already have. And he said it was given to him to understand that it was kind of in the reverse, that for talking about the world, that he was being taken out of the world, kind of line upon line, precept upon precept. And how hard that is at times, because how hard it is to, still be in the world, but the Lord taking you step by step out of the world. And I think that's kind of how it works for all of us. It's, I think it's, step by step. It's kind of how it's being lined out here. He's giving us things that we need to do, principles, as it says, are established. And it's not just taking us and, throwing us into this, expecting everything to work out fine. But I think there's a process, and there's steps, and we're still working those things out. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Very good. Michael, do you want to take us through the next verse?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Verse 10. Within this principle, it was imperative to recognize that not all brothers would be willing to live under such circumstances. Then the high priests of the sacred order of Melchizedek were established among us, that the law of consecration among the members of the Church of Christ would be sent to the people, not as a commandment, but only as a principle accompanied with a promise. That sounds like the introduction to the section 89 and the Word of Wisdom. Not given as a commandment, only as a principle accompanied with a promise. The will of God to all those who feel fit for the call without there being coercion on the part of the leadership of the church, or resentment towards him who is called to this proceeding, but who rejects him according to the precepts of his heart, due to the designs and the adapted promise of each family's ability to understand or not fully understand the law given us by Christ in order to eliminate the existing inequalities between our brothers and sisters, handing over from our earthly possessions to become stewards of the Lord in regard to his kingdom. here on the earth. So there was no coercion. This was strictly a voluntary thing. And I can't remember if it was earlier in this chapter, maybe it's later on where they started out. Maybe they didn't give 100% of their surplus all at once, but they, started doing 10 and then 20% and building themselves up 50%, 80% until they finally reached that 100% giving of all of their surplus. Interesting that they didn't give everything. They still had to live. They still needed enough for their families. But anything that was of their surplus, that was the amount that they slowly worked their way up to giving 100%.
Excellent. I noticed that accompanied with the promise and did just what you did, thought, well, gee, that sounds like 89. And I was thinking, well, it's a lot easier for me to see how the promises in the Word of Wisdom work than in the Law of Consecration. And then I got asking myself, well, what is the promises? And in searching through the church's topic of the index to the United Order, one of the things the Lord says is that he'll sanctify the land. Another thing he says is he'll actually fight your battles. And I was thinking that could be really handy if, according to Isaiah, when the promised land is taken over and we've got to go forth like Moses did, and at that time period, whether that's going into the wilderness for a period of time and then also taking back Zion. Anyway, those were some of the promises I was thinking about, a holy land and that he would fight your battles. That could be very important, in the next 10 years. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, there's a fairly recent revelation, and I'm not one that can just spout off, what revelation or what chapter and verse and such, but it talks about, us having to go into those refuges for a period of 8 years, and then after that will be the time to, as you've been saying, come back. And for those that are still around and those that are found worthy, I guess, and to go rebuild Zion. So I also wanted to comment on this verse 10, where it says, the family's ability to understand or not fully understand this law. And that can be a hard thing. I would say that my family doesn't understand. My wife doesn't want to understand, and it's hard to live. It's kind of like Brother Darren was saying. I was commenting on that. It's hard, living in the same household sometimes when your spouse doesn't want the same things spiritually. I don't know. I think the problem is she doesn't understand, and I think if she did, she would want to be, part of this. But at the moment, she doesn't want to know much about it, and I have to give her agency, and I pray about it every day. But that's something that's, hard, and I know that there are others in the same situation. So what can we do? Just do what we can where we're at, and relying on the Lord to, open up the paths and opportunities. So thank you.
Yeah, Rex, when I read that, I was thinking the same thing. And thinking how lucky I am that No, basically it's just me and my wife were retired and my pets, other than and they don't have much say. So but right, you're starting school and your kids want designer jeans and cool clothes and a lot of things, a new computer. Right. I was thinking this is a very it truly is a difficult commandment. I believe that's why it's the last commandment in the temple. Just simply, I guess it's the one that you can say you're really converted. Yeah, when you get to the point where you can, this is the last commandment you're struggling with. You know what I mean? The other three covenants. It's like, okay, I've got this. I have the spirit in my life. I'm ready to go on. Any other comments?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment. I think a couple weeks ago I sent out an email. I think we'd mentioned in here about a prophecy about between the election and the inauguration, there might be an invasion or something that I can't remember George R. Smith or who it was that had the prophecy. But I think it's interesting that it was thought to possibly apply to our time, but tomorrow we have the inauguration. It's that possibility looks like it's expired or expiring.
Yes, and I was thinking that too. And there were a lot of people on who followed Ezra's eagle, and they're sitting here going, "Well, gee, did we really interpret that right?" I think truly, this day still mimics that time period where they were killing the chief judge, and there truly were secret combinations. And oh, I forget, it's been on the news that they had released it was one of our presidents that ordered Kennedy killed. That's been on the news. I do believe that there are influences in the government that don't want Zion, and they, I guess, really want Babylon. I mean, a worldwide Babylon, just a great Amazon where everybody's all hooked together. And it'll be interesting to see if President Trump gets elected. And even still, I think it's on the third attempt now on his life, is what I've heard. So, can he stay in office for 4 years? It'll be interesting to see, because Moroni was pretty clear that when you wake up to your awful situation, now I don't know exactly when that would be, whether that's after an economic collapse or after, for instance, China decides to encroach on Taiwan. Isaiah is pretty clear that the king of Assyria and his friends, which I think if you look at who the BRICS nations are, is pretty clear that they're gaining power and that this will happen to America. It's just, I don't know when. And certainly, anyway, within the next 10 years, I could see that we may have to do all the things that we're right now reading about, or at least are some of us. Anyway, that's a little gloom and doom for today. I'm excited about the election. That's great. I had my way, I'd just as soon put off all the hard times for my kids. And but I'll just see what happens. Okay, so how about 11?
I can read.
Okay.
Therefore, it became necessary to write a record of those who have the desire in their hearts to fulfill this law, and after to be individually analyzed in relation to the spiritual state and faith of each one of the promises of God and the building of Zion. In all situations concerning the life of each aspirant to join the order and of his family and of his substance, and in common agreement with the applicant, if he stipulate under the consent of his wife and children his stewardship with the High Council. So there we get go again. It's reiterated that it has to be in agreement with the family, the household. And I think that's why we learned earlier in the sealed book that it's important, those high and holy feelings, that building Zion, first in ourselves, then in our homes, if possible, and then in our communities, and then continuing on and on. But we see here, this is kind of the again, the next step that's mentioned. This is a real deal. Are you gonna put your name down, and you're gonna write your name down? Are you gonna be a part of this? And then if so, there's gonna be a council that individually analyzes each one and each situation and so on. So thank you.
Right. I can see teenagers, and when I was a teenager, I wasn't a very good son, and I could see a lot of problems in the family where they feel that they just want things and they don't want to share things. So it'd be interesting to see. I guess it comes back to that gifted power to change our heart. Yeah, so Michael, you had a comment?
No, I was just as we were talking about Ezra Siegel, I remember seeing a series about 3 months ago, three videos on this guy's channel where he kind of analyzes a different take, and he zeroes in on a key verse. I can't remember if it was in chapter 11 or chapter 12 of Second Ezra, where it talks about being restored to its foundation, and he kind of takes that to mean that, this next president will be instrumental in putting us back to where we were, restoring us to a republican, or what do they call it? Not a
Republic.
democracy, but a
Republic.
republic, if you can keep it, right? Isn't that what they told us? A constitutional republic. And so I just put that. It's only three videos, and I think it's maybe 30 minutes each one. Just an interesting alternate interpretation of that. So, yeah, here we are. Inauguration dates tomorrow. Let's see if maybe that's the correct way to think about it. But I did have something to say. I can't remember where I read it. It's in one of these books that I'm reading. All of these records that I'm reading, that it talks about that the fullness of the gospel, that this law of consecration, living the law of consecration, represents the fullness of the gospel. And if we can't live the law of consecration, we essentially reject the fullness of the gospel. Just like in 3 Nephi 16:10 talks about that the Gentiles in the latter days, when they reject the fullness of my gospel, I will take it from among them and give it back unto the seed of Lehi. I think that was one of the critical things that occurred in the first invitation, and they're rejecting the fullness of the gospel. They couldn't live this higher law, this law of the celestial kingdom, right? The law of consecration. It was too hard. And I think about that now in our day. Here it is being brought back, and we're being given a second chance, a second invitation, as it were, will you live this higher law? And I mean, it's a difficult thing. I mean, I agree with Rex. Trying to get the whole family on board with this is not an easy thing. And we all live in Babylon. It's the nature of the beast. You know, we've got to go and earn a living. We've got to provide for our families. We've got to use the fiat monetary system that enslaves us all. Right? We're none is so hopelessly enslaved than he who doesn't recognize his own shackles. And so I think it's a process to come out from Babylon and live this higher law, this fullness of the gospel, as it were. Not an easy thing.
Not an easy thing. When you were speaking of Ezra's eagle, there is a couple chapters later where it talks about that the record of Moses will again be brought upon the earth and will be spread across the earth, as will be my record. And if you go out to YouTube and look at, all of a sudden there's probably 10 Ezra's eagles out there. And you know, to me, I found that interesting that he was told that his record would come forth and be as well known as also Moses's. And of course, we can see Moses's because of the Pearl of Great Price, and now because of the Seal Book of Mormon. So I guess we'll just hold that in abeyance and just see if we've got the correct interpretation on that. But I do, it rings true to me in that the striving inside our government. You know, I on DirecTV they have a news channel where they have the three news channels all together, and you can switch back almost instantaneous from one to one to one. And it's like a civil war of words. It's like the war of heaven when I switch from CNN to, say, MBSCBN or whatever their logo is. And one thing that is a mystery to me is that all three channels seem to cover the same topics in the same order. And it's like, who is controlling these three stations that they will talk about this and then they'll talk about this? And it's almost within the same thing, because I'm sitting here switching back and forth going, okay, I want to know who sets that agenda. It just seems to me, it's one of the things I pondered about, is who's really in control of our world.
I agree.
But there are a couple,
I can't even bring myself to watch the news anymore. It's all contention, bickering, lies, and just I think I'm better off without it. So
yeah, it's definitely not right. It's not po generally positive.
But I don't think that the different networks being similar has to do with somebody over controlling it. It's because you look at the news items that they've got to choose from for the day, and they pick, well, this will probably be the most interesting one. You know, LA fires would be the number one thing, and then they go to the elections and so forth. I think that's just a similar thought process that leads them down that same path. I don't know.
Could be. Right. It could be just simply that's everybody has their priorities and then it comes out the same.
But I don't like to listen to the all the deal about the weather and so forth. I just skip through those and only watch news as a recorded item, not as a live item.
I was, sorry, go ahead.
Those items. The weather has become one of those items that they'll spend quite a bit of time on. And yet, that was never a part of their broadcast before. That's all.
Well, and I think it's because They've got this idea that climate change is driving things, and not taking into account the fact that there are, hundreds of patents talking about how you can change the climate, and dumping stuff in the atmosphere, and it's taking place. It's really happening. We're messing up our climate, and it's the people that they, oh, this is just proof of climate change. No, it's proof that we're messing up our climate. So it's proof of.
Right, and I had even heard that we are actually moving into warmer space, which is something I had never thought about. The average temperature of the space that our orbit is moving into is increasing in temperature, and I'd never thought about that. That obviously, you think changes in the sun also can do things. It brings me back to the marker, the sign marker that the 10 tribes will come back when the ice melts. So, just kind of an indication that all things are in commotion in our planet.
Living
Go ahead.
in Alaska and in this one room, I can look out my window and I have a tree between our cottage and another cottage, and it's beginning to sprout leaves. This is January, and usually we have a cold spell that will put us below zero during this time and often into February. We have temperatures now that are around freezing, just 32 degrees. It's warm here in Alaska.
Yeah, things are changing, and it's been, as I said, prophesied, and here we go. This is our life. Well, let's see. That gets us to chapter 9, right?
It looks like chapter 9 can basically continues. It doesn't look like as much of a change or break.
Should we move on to 9?
Sure.
Okay, so verse 1, this therefore was the statute of the Church of Christ concerning the administration of the law of consecration among its members, calling each family according to their desires to determine their stewardship. Verse 2, first the wealthiest among the people who had the names recorded in the book of those who are committed themselves to consecrate their possessions to obtaining Zion. And being called by name, behold, every one of them was required to make a presentation of his goods. That sounds like every member of the family. And how much of them wished to consecrate to the Lord, since it was not a matter of corruption.
Coercion.
Thank you. It was permitted to be a partial consecration of each family, beginning with the tithing required by the law of Moses, and so progressively to the amount that each one agreed to give in his heart, without any resentment. Wow. Without any resentment, as they understood about the order coming of the celestial law. Any
Again, it
comments?
sounds simple, but in reality, it can be a hard thing. We're not even doing the full tithing of the law of Moses at current, within, the church. From what the prophet has said, hearing, through Brother Cackler, that for now we're just trying to get people on board doing, 10% of their income. But I think the time's going to come when it's going to be the full law of Moses as is given in the scriptures, about every few years giving a percentage of what you've earned, what you've bought, and every few years giving an amount for the temple and such. And so there's actually, it's actually quite a lot, a bit of a lot more money. And I'm looking and saying, right now, I just don't know how that's possible for, me and my family. But, I don't want to have discouraging thoughts. But, I know that God is in control of all things. So I'm going to ride it out and see what happens, I guess, is the way, best way to look at it. So thank you.
Thanks, Rex. I know, I bet everybody thinks about this. And that's got to be where the gifts come in. Those gifts that we may need to have to be able to pull this off. Michael, do you want to comment on John Pratt?
Yeah, as always, I mean, John, when he was alive, he was just a prolific writer, and he basically uses chapter 9 here as kind of his basis for the article he wrote about how to implement the United Order. And when we read in verse 2 here that it starts with the wealthiest, I mean, that makes total sense. How do you get the funds necessary to kick this thing off, but by having, bringing the wealthy. Not debasing them, but having them share of their substance so that there's actually something in the storehouse to begin with. And then you just work forward from there. He talks about the first you've got to overcome the negativity, right? It's a step-by-step approach. First you have to, well, I guess the first one is desire, have the desire to join, then overcome the negativity, like chapter 8, verse 1 talks about. Eventually getting rid of all of the feelings from the adversary until the strife between brethren ceases to exist. And then start with the wealthiest and you begin trying to get up to that 100% of your surplus. That might, I can't, and maybe that's in this chapter where it talks about going from 10% to 30 to 50 or whatever. Actually, that might be in the next verse, verse 3. Should I read that?
Yeah, that's great.
Nevertheless, many who began by consecrating only the tithe of all they possessed, which 10%, and continually giving the tithing of all that they produced, but throughout their lives passed increasing their consecration until many did so in their fullness. But each one in his due time and understanding, and giving only the amount which they promised to give, or all that they had and produced, or only half of it, 50%, or even a third of it, 33%, but were not imposed on them, but all who had the desire to participate were accepted by the order according to their yearnings and needs.
I think that it's really interesting if you're involved in that process, and you look around you and you see, well, that person's given a lot, that person's not given anything. And yet we're supposed to judge them all equal, and that's going to be the difficult part, is overcoming the attitudes among the people to allow people to do only what they can and what or what they feel they can do.
Yeah.
Yes, and trusting that the high council really are inspired, that they, because they'll make the somewhat the decisions on who gets what, and I'm sure that's going to take a lot of faith. And I wanted to say I'm so grateful, Russell, for you keeping this particular group going, because when you're thinking about this in the restoration, where is most of the riches located? And I think you start to ponder about it, and in order to really exalt the poor, we really need to expand the Sealed Book of Mormon in Utah and the Rocky Mountain states. That's where the great riches are currently. And eventually we'll get to the part where the Lord says, I'm going to take from the Gentiles who were rich, and that would mostly be basically the Rocky Mountain states. There's a lot of money concentrated there, and he's going to take that and give that to the poor. So you can see how important, even though Missouri is the hub of all of this, you can, and Brazil, you can see how, at least I see how important, the bringing the LDS Church, converting them more, because they're the ones that have the riches. And I guess I know, I believe that the Lord will bring forth riches. For instance, like the I'm a stockholder in the relief mine, which is supposed to come forth and bring forth riches to build the New Jerusalem. I know there'll be other sources, but a lot of them are here in the Rockies, and so that's why I appreciate this small meeting, simply because I think the Rocky Mountain states have a big will have a big, we have so many members that even if we only convert 0.001%, it's a sizable amount of money. And anyway, those are just some of my thoughts on that before I get off in crazy land. Who wants to read verse 4?
I'll do it. Thus, the church had resources enough over in its stockpiles, and with that, we could call the less well to understand their needs and to assist in what was paramount to them. As you were talking, because I'm more near the end of my life, I can see how with families it would be very difficult because the kids want so much. And they would look at a family that would have a boat for instance, besides their three cars, and it would be very difficult for them to say, well, why don't we have a boat? Unless those people who have the boat share it with everyone. It's easier, I would think, if they're in in close proximity to one another, it might be easier, it might be worse. But I appreciate the way the Melchizedek Order is giving them the opportunity. And if it comes from the heart, it would be easier for the kids to accept. That's all.
Right, and it's not impossible that, the storehouse could have a jet ski and a hiking gear and some of those things that would make that easier to where, gee, do we totally get rid of jet skis, or in our stake do we have, a few fun things that are fairly given to everyone, whatever that is, a four-wheel drive or a motorcycle, that is common property. And so it may not, I mean, the storehouse may have more things than just food. I mean, lawnmowers and spare cars and things that people could use. Anyway, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I guess we'll wait and see how that works. I am so grateful that in our day, it is so easy to get food. It's so easy to, compared to my parents or grandparents, where they, married at 13 or 14, worked hard 50 years. Anyway, I really do appreciate that, and the earth, of course, as we become more righteous, the earth will start producing all these things for us. So, there is that other balancing part that we should become the most blessed people on earth as we live these things. All right, how
Yeah.
about verse five? Or a comment.
I was going to make a little comment about the church having enough in its stockpiles, as it says. And Marisha is really believing that this is 2025 is going to be the year. It's going to be the year that there's multitudes of conversions. And I don't know if all of you have seen the recent postings on Facebook and other social media about, multiple mortalities and about how he is the, he is Joseph Smith returned. And he says they've had, I think a lot of these are in Brazil of the LDS church there, but they've had like thousands of hits and comments on that. And he's thinking that, this is going to be the turning, the tide is going to turn. And yeah, as you say, there's a lot of wealth in the LDS church, but also, as mentioned, you all will probably remember in one of the past revelations, it talks about there will be workers alongside the, what is it, alongside the slopes of mountains or the banks of rivers, finding treasures. And that was brought up recently. So just something to think about. I don't know any of the details on that, but it's interesting that, it seems that we think positively, things are coming together. So thank you.
Well, in my family, in the Knight family, when they came to Utah, an angel came to one of my family and said, "Hey, here's the mine. Here's a silver mine. Go out and develop it." And it became a large mine. A lot of wealth came out of that mine. And then there are people that believe in the Dream Mine up in Salem, Utah, that that will be one of the richest gold mines that come forth, meant for just the church. And so a lot of these things, if we have the knowledge, that's kind of the one thing I had thought about is the Lord could give you the knowledge to do something new, something that you'd never thought about that will allow to make money. So I think there's a lot of things that are yet to come forth, the riches of the earth. Be interesting to see that. I don't, yes, Russell.
Talk about when the LDS Church or people in the LDS Church might be coming into the Zion Society and so forth. I'm familiar with one lady who had lots of different visions, and she had one vision of the Salt Lake area where it showed her, well, about almost 30 years ago, the buildings that would happen. And so she watched as time progressed, those buildings were built exactly as she was shown in her vision. And the last thing that was shown to her, the last building that was built, actually just got built here a few years ago. And then she was shown a major catastrophe where there was a major bomb that blew off the top floors of the Salt Lake Temple. I think that it's going to take something like that to wake up the LDS people. And when that happens, then they will say, oh, goodness, what else is there around that?
I agree. I think, an economic collapse actually could have a positive effect, or an earthquake in Utah. Right. I read that prophecy about, a bomb going off in Hillsville. I got my radiation pills, by the way, so just in case. They're on Amazon. They're pretty cheap, so figure why not? If that does happen, I'll certainly want to use them. But I do think with all this turbulence, there are people saying that there'll be a new awakening in California because of all these fires and all these devastations. So there's no question that when you're humbled, where do you go? You either go to God, or maybe you take yourself out. But I do believe hard times are not necessarily bad for spiritual growth. It's just something we don't want to go through. It's not, gee, give me patience. Yeah, well, if you're going to ask God for that, you better be careful because that might mean some difficult things to go through.
Talking about resources being made available when they're necessary, it reminded me, I don't know how many of you have read that book from Spencer, where it talks about in Visions of Glory, where there was this vein of mother of pearl stone that was discovered somewhere in Canada. It was like 100 yards wide and 30 miles long, and they were able to extract that and use that to help build the massive temple complex in Missouri. So whether that happens, as he says, I don't know. That's just something to think about, that the resources for God's people will be made available, from the earth, as it were, at the right time.
Right. And I often think about in the White Horse Prophecy, it says that gold will be shoveled up like sand here in the Salt Lake Valley. And I started to work for Newmont Gold about 30 years back when my boss had discovered microscopic gold, which is just gold that is so teeny you cannot pan it. You can't see it. It's at the atom level. And he developed this process of extracting that. And when I drive out of Tooele and go around the bend heading into Salt Lake and go by Kennecott Copper, right there, they are shoveling up gold like sand, because what they do, it's 10 miles by 2 miles by, I don't know, another 2 miles, basically plot of land. It's between 21st South and North Temple. And that is a gigantic bathtub. And they've sealed it 50 feet under the ground. It's all sealed. And they spring on the top of it, they sprinkle 10% of arsenic water. And that arsenic water goes down and grabs single atoms of gold and takes it down to the bottom of the bathtub, and then is pumped out. And you'll see seven sheds around where they pump that through carbon rods to gather the gold. And when you realize that, I mean, when I drive by that every day, not every day, every week, I realize that that is gold sh being shoveled up like sand, because it really is. It's a great big sand heap. Anybody who lives here, would know that, would realize that. And so a lot of these things like I say, are happening. I know people have read that and just laughed, and yet I've seen that in my life, because of working for Newmont Gold. And now they haven't got silver stacked up on the streets yet. I have not seen that. However, like what has been brought up is a lot of these things is just new knowledge that we have never considered. So those are some of the things that, may bring about having that amount of money. And obviously, if we had those resources where you really could have a car and a jet ski and something else in the storehouse in the stakes, anyway, it could help.
Okay. Well,
That's
what verse did we get to today?
four.
4. Okay.
Read 4, yep. We start next week in verse 5.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Michael, you want to take charge of next week or now that we're in a new chapter?
Yeah, I can do that. Let's see. 16 verses in all.
Okay, I guess I'll end the recording. Now we've got the verse 4.